You're not the only one who thinks every zombie takeout is the end of the world.
Welcome to episode 253 of Zombie Takeout.
Zombie Takeout.
The B-Movie and Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, we've got a little bit of listener submitted. This is from M Plays. In reference to last week's episode, actually on the video version of last week's episode on YouTube, she said, Casey Kasem. Sweet. Of course, that's a nice segue to this week's movie because I mentioned Casey Kasem in reference to it. And it is... from 2014, Left Behind. And before we get to the impromptu plot summary, I just want to mention, now, I know I've complained about religious overtones in movies before, but it will not affect my rating this week, because this is so overtly, openly religious, you know, it's on the label, you know exactly what you're getting going in. It would be like criticizing or deducting brains from, you know, The Expendables for being too action-heavy, or, you know, a Hugh Grant movie for being a rom-com. It's the nature of the beast. So it won't affect my rating.
It will carry the mark of the beast, you mean.
However, I am a staunch borderline militant atheist, so I am not going to be able to resist the urge to mock... criticize and generally bash religion in this episode. So if that sort of thing offends you, you might want to skip this week. With that said, on to the impromptu plot summary. Sponsored by Logic and Reason. When pondering the probability of the existence of the supernatural, for fuck's sake, use logic and reason.
And also brought to you by the family that prays together. Doesn't have to sit through this bullshit.
Lucky them.
So we have, man... We have a family who is sort of on the brink of splitting up. The mother of the family has, I guess, has become born again and has been militantly preaching it to everyone that will listen. And she's driving everybody away. Well, except for their son, who's kind of just going along for the ride. The daughter's away at college and is just coming home, and instead of staying there, her father is who's an airline pilot, has decided that he was going to take off on an extra flight so he could be with the stewardess and have an affair.
Clearly their stereotypes about airline personnel come from the 70s.
Yes. There's a lot of dated stuff in this in this story too. We'll get to that later.
They made the same references on like Three's Company back in the day.
But anyway, a funny thing happens on the way to London, and boy were his arms tired. Anyway, I'll be here all hour.
Yeah, I think you forgot to set half of that up.
So anyway, they are flying. They're not quite at the halfway point when people just start disappearing. Well, actually, it's just one.
Yeah, one flash, and one like flash, half the people on the plane disappear, and several people on Earth. Yeah,
millions of people across the planet have disappeared. Mostly children, making up the bulk of it. And mostly of one religious denomination. Fancy that. But, they're left with quite the pickle, because also for some unknown reason that is never explained, most of the electronics have broken down too. He can't communicate with anybody. He can't, there's nobody in any of the towers or any of the, you know, bases, you know, checking out for them. So he decides, I don't know, what seems like a ridiculously long amount of time later to turn the plane around. Yeah. Like, wait, you didn't do this as soon as everybody disappeared? The fuck is wrong with you?
They filled a lot with very little in this film.
Right. And so he finally decides to turn it around, and then he sees another plane coming and doesn't come to the realization that there might not be anyone flying the plane until it's, of course, too late, and he damages his plane. Meanwhile, back at home, his daughter is noticing that the other half of their family has disappeared.
Well, her little brother disappears right in the middle of hugging him.
Her little brother disappears right while hugging him, and yet she's still calling out for him for the next 15, 20 minutes. Because apparently her little brother is David Copperfield or David Blaine, who did a disappearing act right in her hand, in her arms, and is somewhere else. Even though there's a bunch of other people who have disappeared, she believes her brother's just going to turn up somewhere, even though everyone pretty much did like an Obi-Wan Kenobi disappearance. It was a mass Kenobiing where nothing was left but their pile of clothes, their jewelry, and their belongings, because God don't want none of that shit, apparently.
Which leads to a bit of a logical issue, but I'll get to that in the review proper.
But, so yes, she's finding out that the other half of their family has disappeared as well, and somehow they get some cell phone calls through at random intervals, which none of that makes any sense, of course.
Well, they had satellite phones, which didn't work for some reason. Apparently, satellites were taken as well.
Yes, the satellites have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and were taken up in the rapture. Because God wanted to listen to Bennington. I don't know. So he, the daughter, they somehow coordinate to clear a runway for them to make this miracle landing. Mm-hmm. And I can say it now. Hilarity. Yes.
Yeah. First thing I thought when this movie started, well, just in the opening credits, if I hear one Creed song, I'm tapping out. This whole thing feels like a cross between a Time Life ad, an after-school special, and hints of a Summer's Eve ad.
Well, it starts off with the tones of a 70s disaster movie.
Yeah, actually, yes. And it has a lot of that throughout.
In fact, even like the production title at the very beginning, it all is very like 70s action movie. I was like, so it's really conflicted. Like, you know what it felt like? It felt like that somebody really wanted to make this movie, a really, you know, deeply religious person that really believed in this, and handed it to some people that wanted to do a 70s style disaster movie.
Who basically wanted to remake Airport.
Yeah.
Or was it Airport 77? That was
something like that. Right. And, you know, of course, modern audiences are expecting a campy, you know, Sharknado, you know, asylum movie.
Right.
And then obviously there are more, some people took this more seriously than others. So it was really just a jumbled mess from the very beginning.
Particularly the characterization of the believers. Because you forgot to mention a character. There's this investigative journalist on the plane as well.
I forgot the investigative journalist with the funky facial hair.
Yeah. who assists Cage's character and has a thing with a daughter.
Which starts, like, really quickly.
Yeah.
They just go from strangers bumping into each other in the airport to, here's my number. Well, you know.
Bestest pickup ever.
Yeah.
Must have been the facial hair.
Must have been.
But in the airport in the beginning of the film, he's confronted by a Christian woman who's, you know, asking if he believes in God and, you know, basically just trying to convert him. And the daughter comes up and she's an atheist and she poses some very rudimentary questions, some arguments. The Christian does not respond to them at all.
Right.
They just bypass that completely.
They do. And most of the, as the one person from, I think it was Christianity Today, I think we both read this review of this, that most of the Christians, the believers in this, and this is coming from a Christian, are annoying.
Yeah, I didn't pull that from my notes, but I did see that mention the review.
Yes.
The one I have is, the film was, of course, universally panned by critics, and many Christian film critics were critical of it as well. Paul Chambers from moviechambers.com begins his scathing review with, "There are millions of Christians with average or above average intelligence. I'd like to think that I'm one of them. So what possessed the makers of Left Behind to produce such an ignorant piece of garbage that's easily one of the worst films of 2014, if not all time?"
So, I mean, when you were giving the disclaimer, I was thinking, yeah, but this, it would be like, did they really use the source material in this movie? Well, yeah,
but I gave the disclaimer because it's kind of a fish in the barrel situation. I'm just not going to be able to hold back.
Because really, it's not the Bible. It's the Left Behind story that's the problem
here.
Well,
yeah. It does point out some issues with that, though.
Because, I mean, Revelation, I don't think you could do a movie on that. It is really an acid trip.
Yeah.
I don't care what you mean. There are people, scholars, that have no idea what the fuck it actually means. Mm-hmm. I mean, Christian scholars, whether it was just a metaphor for spiritual existence, whether it was a sign of the future, or whether it was a political statement of the time, which a lot of people believe that it was about the Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, there are theories that the whole thing is about the Roman Empire and created by the Roman Empire, including the man himself.
Right, yeah. So the problem is, of course, it's the source material here, mm-hmm. and that's Left Behind, which is...
And that's why I mentioned the religiosity is not going to affect my review. I'm just going to tear apart, the movie itself. I kind of looked at it as if, it wasn't a religious film. I just looked at it as a general movie, and it fails completely on that level as well.
Because, I mean, here's what the full statement from the guy from Christianity Today magazine. Left Behind is not a Christian movie, whatever Christian movie could even possibly mean. In fact, most Christians within the world of the movie, whether the street preacher lady at the airport or Rayford Steele's wife, are portrayed as insistent, crazy, delusional, or at least very, really annoying. And this is a Christian dude in a Christian magazine doing this. They want churches to book whole theaters and take their congregations, and they want it to be a youth event, want magazines like this to publish discussion questions at the end of their reviews, want the system to churn away, all the while netting them cash without ever having cared one shred about actual Christian belief. Mm-hmm. They want to trick you into caring about the movie. Don't. And he went on saying, tried to give the film 0 stars, but our tech system wouldn't allow it.
Wow.
He did the Yelp, "I'd give it no stars if I could," which I think is the best use of that phrase I've ever seen, honestly, and I've seen it many times in my work.
Asylum makes better films. And I don't mean more enjoyable, I mean technically better.
Well, yes, the special effects in this were embarrassing. They were very embarrassing special effects.
And just certain editing choices. When he's meeting up with the stewardess at the beginning, I don't think there could have been a more extreme close-up of Nick Cage's hand when he's taking off the wedding ring. Like, could you make that a little bit clearer?
Right. And, like, how would she not know he was married? The ring leaves a mark, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. This is made by people who are not married.
And Cage's performance in general, I mean, we've complained about Cage before. He makes like one good movie a decade. Or has one good performance. But Cage phoning it in is a whole nother level of painful. And he was completely phoning it in on this one.
What could he do with this, though? The dialogue is just so wooden and unnatural.
Mm-hmm.
The dialogue is ABC after school special level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's not an exaggeration. They are really just, giving each other saying the obvious thing. There's no subtext.
With, in some cases, acting straight out of a Time Life ad, which is probably what, made it feel that way to me. Incidentally, Cage's character's name, Rayford Steele.
And by the way, if I ever saw a pilot get out of the cockpit mid-flight like that, I would yell at top volume, get the fuck back in there. Because before the rapture, he fucking walks out of the pilot to see his girlfriend in the back.
The plane was barely off the ground and he's strolling through the cabin.
Yeah. I mean, what's painfully obvious is that the story is pre-9/11 story. Yeah. It's, you know, a September 10th story if there ever was one. And really, what you got to call the author in on this is that he really holds humanity in general in contempt. I mean, there's an obvious hatred of humanity and just, you know, a gleeful, oh, these guys are all fucked kind of thing.
And it also kind of calls that whole rapture myth, for lack of a better word, into question, because it is really cruel on the face of it. You know, everybody who kowtows to me is okay, but everybody else is fucked.
But, I mean, just the whole fact that because the chosen people have left, all of a sudden, chaos is just going to erupt.
Well, because all of the bad people were left behind.
Right. I mean, just the whole... it clearly wasn't made with, you know, the view of what happened on 9/11 that day and how that's not how humanity actually reacted to adversity.
Well, because, again, it wasn't meant to be realistic. It was meant to be a morality film.
Of course, yeah. It was just the good people are gone, and now the bad people are all here, including other, you know, faiths.
There's a very devout Muslim gentleman on the plane.
Yeah.
Who was, of course, left behind.
Of course.
Now, left behind authors Tim LaHaye and Jerry B. Jenkins, along with their families, were given an advanced screening of a rough cut of the movie. I don't even want to imagine a rough cut. On January 31st, 2014, afterwards, LaHaye was quoted as saying, "It's the best movie I've ever seen on the Rapture." Jenkins was quoted as saying, "I believe it does justice to the novel and will renew interest in the entire series."
And the Kirk Cameron version that was done...
was made before this, and from about, what I've heard, is far better.
They tried suing.
I think I did read that.
They tried suing those guys because they did not like their version of it.
Mm-hmm.
But this, they think, is one of the best movies made about it.
Yeah, this kind of speaks to my overall point is... I'm wondering if they were really making more of a case for atheism than faith.
How so? That
all of the people of faith were assholes. You really end up rooting for the people who were left behind.
Of course.
They're the heroes of the story.
They are the heroes of the
story.
In fact,
the blatant atheist at the beginning of the film is the actual hero. She saves the day.
I mean... You might be right there, in a way. It's very strange how it is on its ear in this.
I don't know if it was at all intentional, of course, but it really does make a stronger case for atheism than it does faith.
Because I had to look to see what happens in the remainder of the series.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of like the new saints of like the transition or whatever. And, you know, then they have the Antichrist and like the later versions, of course, and they lead a whole war. So against, there's like a whole World War III thing.
There's a podcast I listen to called Podcast Without Pretense. And they take like a really bad movie and watch it every week and react to it. They did the sequels to the Cameron version first.
Really?
And then they went back and did this one. And their review of this one was hilarious. Because they weren't that harsh on the Cameron one. They took issue with, you know, the religious aspects. And, you know, there were, you know, minor criticisms here and there. But it was generally okay. This, of course, they destroyed.
Back to the just humanity's reaction to this.
Mm-hmm.
How annoying was it that everybody... seemed to forget that they were on an airplane.
Oh, I was more thinking about the reaction on the ground, but okay.
How? I mean, I laughed my balls off through most of this. And I think one of the funniest lines was when Nicolas Cage was calming the people down and talking about getting them out of danger. Mm-hmm. And the person, one of the people in the crowd, like, what do you mean, danger? I was just like, are you yeah. fucking serious? Like, you're in an airplane, dude.
Mm-hmm.
You're over the Atlantic Ocean. He's not, I mean, people have disappeared. Electronics aren't working well.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, what possible danger could that be, sir?
Oh, and speaking of stereotypes, the small stature guy,
yeah.
there's a gentleman who is of small stature on the plane, and he is the so annoyingly stereotypical angry disabled person.
I was hoping they would have gotten Vern Troy for that.
That would have been more fun.
Yeah.
I think I saw this guy on Seinfeld a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's this little girl watching him try to, you know, put his bag in the overhead compartment, and, you know, he's like, what are you looking at? What are you wondering how I drive? Where I get my clothes from? I just wanted to beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, and he didn't even tell us where.
Mm-hmm. Now, before the actual rapture happens, were you hoping the little brother would get taken?
What's that?
Before the actual rapture happens, were you hoping the little brother would get taken? Because I was.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because what would they have done with him?
He was just really irritating. I will say that the actual rapture effect was nicely done. It was just a nice little white flash and everybody disappeared. It was tasteful.
That was probably the second funniest scene in the whole movie. and of course it was supposed to be this traumatic thing, like, oh my god, mm-hmm. everyone's disappeared. And of course it was like, ha, his pile of clothes, and like, oh look, now we're just gonna riot and stuff.
So everybody who's raptured goes with their bodies.
Yes.
That's gotta suck for everybody who had to die first before then.
Hmm.
I'm not sure how the logic works there.
So the people that died before them still have their bodies?
Well, because up until the rapture, everybody who you know, went to heaven before this had to die first.
They become more powerful than you can imagine.
These people were just taken with their bodies.
And then they come back as like a blue ghost kind of thing.
Mm. I also liked a lot of the chaos after after it happened.
It was ridiculous.
There were some nice effects, or nice stunts, I should say. You know, the car crashing and the plane hitting the car. Which, I gotta say, the explosion was unrealistic, but at least they kept it contained. It wasn't a giant blast.
All of the explosions, all the fire effects were just terrible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, also, just before that happened, there were breakdancers at a mall.
Yes! Like,
what is this, 86?
I know. I was looking at it like, what the fuck? Breakdancers at the mall. And then, of course, that leads to a riot.
Mm-hmm. And there's a moment after it happens when Cage pulls out his phone in the cockpit and we get a brief look at it. Like, you know, he's trying to reach his daughter or his wife, one of the two.
Yeah.
I couldn't get a good look at who was in the picture on the phone. But it was a no signal kind of a thing. And initially I thought he was trying to reach his wife and getting no signal. Like, what, was she raptured with her phone? But they established at that point that all of the communications are down for some odd reason.
Right, which is never explained either.
No.
Just because people have disappeared, the satellite is still going to remain. Mm. The cell phone tower is still going to remain.
The internet, for all intents and purposes, will remain.
Right.
Unless, you know, important people who maintain it are taken. And that's still going to take days, if not weeks, to be an issue.
It's the funny thing, though, because, I mean, the original book was written in 90, before 95. It was okay. That released in 95. But you would think...
That kind of explains the breakdancers, then, if that's out of the book.
You would have thought they would have modernized this, though.
Yeah.
They put this out in 2014, and it is so obviously, you know, a pre-9/11 story because of the airplane alone and the ease people are just coming and going from the fucking cockpit.
Oh, that too. Yeah, yeah. Good point.
I mean, they had, like, a button thing to push to get in and out of
code,
it.
Yeah.
But, like, the reporter dude brings a gun back.
Yeah. Well, they've established at this point that he's one of the good guys.
Well, yes, but first of all, someone else got the gun on the plane.
Well, it was a Sky Marshal who was allowed to bring it. They established that it came from a Sky Marshal.
That's right. She took it from the Sky Marshal.
Yeah, the Sky Marshal was taken, and she grabbed it. Incidentally, Jordan Sparks, good singer, should never be allowed to act again.
Oh, good God, no.
Especially,
no, terrible.
Should not be given a dramatic scene that is kind of a showpiece in the middle of a movie.
It was like a Charles Bush thing, almost. It was just really, really bad.
Also, stereotypes. The conspiracy theorist who thinks everything is aliens. Annoying, because they were kind of painting him as the token geek.
Of course. They were setting up that people that have secular beliefs can be just as ridiculous as people that have religious beliefs.
Mm.
And that there's, you know, mm-hmm. a faith there, too.
Yeah, he wasn't the typical secularist. The daughter arguably was.
Right.
He was a conspiracy theorist. He was a nut job.
A straw man secularist.
Yeah.
But you're right. They never do address the atheist questions in the beginning. No. There's no reasoning or dialogue between the two. They just kind of stare at each other.
And at no point do any of them try to, you know, confront that whole issue.
Yeah.
Nobody in the movie does.
Well, they imply that Rayford becomes, you know, has found God before the end of this.
Yeah, they're all very quick to accept the religious explanation with no other basis.
Yeah, and they don't even really... Well, I guess the daughter got it through.
Well, she talked to one preacher.
Yeah.
She talked to one guy. Rayford, you know, thought about his wife and then saw one of the passengers had a Bible. Also, when he finally, you know, gets through to I want to say mission control, but the towers of air traffic control.
Yeah.
The controller says that no one knows how many have gone, but millions have disappeared. Clearly somebody knows something.
And then just the whole, can't help you here. We don't have any room here. Like, wait, what? You're running a fucking airport, dude.
And then we get Chloe, the daughter, on the ground, about to kill herself.
Yes.
Okay, so you've accepted that, you know, all of this Christian stuff is real, and that everybody's been raptured.
The answer is to go to hell.
Yeah. She's going to kill herself, which is, by that, you know, belief system, a one-way ticket to hell.
Yes.
And then, of course, gets the last-minute call from the father. Cue action-y ending ripped off of, I don't know, about 20 movies, where they have to land the plane on the street.
The best part, of course, being the end of the runway having a gas tankard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and this...
She didn't think to move.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and of course, the scene where she moves everything, you know, conveniently, everything is still working, nothing's actually crashed. And she's running past this thing that explodes at one point that is straight out of an 80s video. Like, literally the running in slow motion profile shot, and then something explodes just as she ran past it. It was, again, I've seen it in about, I think I said this about something last week, I've seen it in about 20 videos.
Oh, speaking of effects, and if they're going to use one so many times, why couldn't they have taken a real family photo if Cage was going to keep looking at it through the film?
Yeah, yeah.
He looks at this thing, and it is so obviously photoshopped. It's like one of the worst photoshoppings you've ever seen, that they were clearly not together in the same place at the same time.
As we're talking about this, I'm starting to wonder if Wizzo was involved.
If they ever did a version of this, Wizzo would be fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In Nick Cage's part, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But I kept expecting to see someone starting to fade from the picture, like this was Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, Leah Thompson would be fading.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You gotta figure, she did like a day's work on this thing.
Oh, yeah.
And clearly it was a paycheck role for most of the people
involved.
Oh,
God, yeah.
Had to be an easy job for her. Obviously, the kid. Everybody who was taken did like a day's work, and then the rest of them had to slog through the rest of this dialogue. Also, the CG in the landing was a joke.
Oh, any CG in this movie is just so it's actually worse than I Frankenstein.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And the performances, while some of them were decent, were actually worse than Catwoman, I think. I mean, Cage was okay. He was phoning it in. The daughter was all right. The journalist was okay. Everybody else was horrible.
Right. What was the deal with I guess she was supposed to be a junkie
Oh
in
yeah.
first class.
There's a woman who you don't really notice her until right after the rapture happens. Actually, this was the moment when I knew we were going back from the 10 minutes that I thought were kind of entertaining to the slog fest that was most of the film. Because I kind of enjoyed it for about 10 minutes after the rapture. Her scene where she clearly knows what's going on and is going to the bathroom to get high again.
She's having a bad trip,
Yeah.
decides to go look in the mirror.
And she says she's having a bad trip, but then there are clearly track marks, like literally up and down her arm.
Right. It was one of those, let's just throw some drug references together.
Like you said, clearly it was made by somebody who wasn't married. Clearly it was made by somebody who knows nothing about any sort of illicit substances.
Right.
Now, as of May 9th, 2015, the film had earned in excess of $4 million against a budget of $16 million. Barely crossed a quarter of the budget. And it was also nominated for three Razzies at the 35th annual Golden Raspberry Awards.
I assumed when I was watching this that this would have swept the Razzies, but I forgot that there was another movie out that we should do for Christmas this year.
It was nominated for Worst Picture, Worst Screenplay, and Worst Actor for Cage. Lost all of them to Saving Christmas, starring Kirk Cameron. How awesome it is it? And I am by no means a Cameron fan, of course, but they sued his version of Left Behind to make this one, and then he kicked their asses at the Razzies. All right, I'm done with my notes.
Yes, sir.
On to sequels and remakes. Now, the ending was probably one of the most egregious I smell sequels I have ever seen.
Well, of course, they hadn't even introduced the Antichrist
Yeah.
yet. I mean, it was supposed to, you know.
This was basically just an origin story, and that was literally it.
And what a terrible origin story. Just like, oh, he's flying a plane. That's when the rapture happens, and he has to land it. That's the whole point, the whole movie, right
While
there.
the daughter plays Cain and wanders the earth.
Yes. Well, not even. I mean, the daughter meets a guy in the beginning, has a fight with the mom, tired of getting religion pushed on her, and then lives through the rapture, decides she's going to kill herself, but then saves the day. That's the entire movie that they took an hour and 45 minutes to tell.
Now, according to director Paul Lalonde, two sequels are planned with Thompson Murray, the photojournalist, and Whalen, I'm guessing that's the daughter, all signed on to reprise their roles. On April 7th, 2015, Lalonde launched an Indiegogo campaign asking for 500 grand in contributions. The campaign raised just over 80 grand after a month. If the goal had been met, the movie would have begun filming in August of this year, right about now, actually, for a summer of 2016 theatrical release. On July 22nd, however, Lalonde announced on his Facebook page that the crowdfunding campaign had resumed on their own platform. So he couldn't make it on Indiegogo, so he's going to go private with the crowdfunding, and he thinks
Yeah.
that's going to make more money.
Well, the books sold a shit ton of copies. There has to be some idiots out there who are willing to fit in this.
Yeah, but the books were an unknown quantity. This
Yeah.
was an unknown quantity. This is no longer an unknown quantity.
Very true.
I can't believe it even raised 80 grand. Who actually wants to see this director make another one of these?
See, if I were me, I would take either I would take Wiseau to take Cage's role. really, for this movie needs, you know, a midnight showing with like a floor show and everything, I think.
Yes, yes, yes.
And of course, people, you know, because I mean, I laughed my ass off at just the jokes I was coming up with while watching this. But yeah, I mean, it needs more of a camp treatment to it. So yeah, Wiseau or name escapes me now.
If he ever fully recovers, Curry.
Oh wow!
Actually, he could take the role as is.
He could be the Antichrist when they have the sequel.
Oh yeah, there we go, there we go.
And what's the deal? I mean, the name of the Antichrist is it's like Nicolae Carpathia.
Wow, that's Asylum.
That's a reference to
Dracula. Yes,
I know. I thought it was Vigo from the second Ghostbusters.
Also, Carpathian Mountains is where Dracula was supposedly from.
Was it? I thought that was more Ukrainian.
I've heard a lot of references to Carpathian Mountains with Dracula in you know, B fiction, of course. I don't know. I'm not sure about the. Where are the Carpathians, actually?
I think that's the Ukraine.
It's Ukraine? Okay, no, then it wouldn't be Dracula. He's in Romania. Or he wasn't. But Carpathia is a name I've heard in other places in reference to vampires, but yes, also Ghostbusters.
But yeah, he's Romanian for some reason, so yes, you know, Eastern European, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Central and Eastern Europe. I think we might both be right.
Oh, well, it was probably written in the 80s during the Cold War, so of course the big bad has to be Eastern European.
It goes through from Romania through the Ukraine into Poland.
Ah. Anyway, on to brains.
On to brains.
Found the 10 minutes just after the rapture moderately entertaining. A few of the performances didn't suck. I'm going to go half a brain.
This could be one of the worst films we've ever done, actually.
It is.
Hands down.
I just don't think it's quite as bad as Showgirls or Crossroads, so I'm going a half up.
Right. I had fun watching it, though, because it was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just the whole drop of the hat of, oh, this thing has happened, it's time to riot. Like, we're just, just this disdain for mankind coming from someone who's proclaiming to be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
It's just absurd. The entire movie's absurd. Mm-hmm. I'm going one brain.
All right. And what have we learned?
At least the Sharknado guys were joking. And Jesus Christ, that was a bad movie.
And I learned that, to paraphrase the Ghetto Boys, damn, it feels good to be a free thinker. All right, so until 2 weeks from now, because you need next week off.
Yes.
When we'll be revealing either Horns or, once again, Pro Wrestlers vs. Zombies, because we're still waiting for the discs to come in. And basically, as soon as we get those discs, we're going with it. Because yes, they're sending us review copies.
The director himself is sending us review copies, yeah. And as soon as we get them,
we need to jump on that.
Yep.
Until then, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course, the episode itself, which you're already listening to, really worked hard on the album art this week.
It's very beautiful.
Mm. Links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and YouTube. Links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. Also, if you enjoy the show, give us a little word of mouth. You know, spread the word. Of course, we appreciate all of the listeners we have, but more would be better. You'll also find the movie list, every movie we've reviewed so far, and every movie we're going to review. We just crowbarred in a Part 3 trilogy. Is that what we're calling it?
Yes, I guess you could say a trilogy of threes.
We realized we had Star Trek 3 and Sharknado 3 on there, so we found another Part 3 to work into another trilogy. The request form, if you've got a movie you'd like to hear us review, please leave it on the request form. Actually, the third movie in that trilogy is a request, if I recall correctly. Turbulence 3 was requested by somebody I don't recall offhand. I'm going to have to check the form.
Yeah, we'll find it by the time we do it, that's for sure.
And, of course, the recommendations list. This never stood a chance, obviously.
This concludes our trilogy of shit.
Oh, I forgot to mention. Yes, this thankfully concludes our shit trilogy.
Yeah, this is the I think this is the roughest one we've ever done.
Yeah, they actually I think they got better for you.
No.
What did you give Catwoman?
Half.
You went up a rating.
Yes.
You rated this better than Catwoman.
Yes, I did actually.
For me, it was a steady decline.
Because I thought this was funny at least.
Yeah.
I gave it the same as I Frankenstein actually, which I got a brain for some good acting.
You can also email us zombietakeout@gmail.com and leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZTL1 or for the alphanumerically challenged.
Wait, they've disappeared. The alphanumerically challenged were the chosen ones.
Well played.
Thank you.
414-368-9861.
They can fuck themselves in heaven.
Of course, you will always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee. And before I get to the official close, I wanted to mention I brought back the Friends of Zombie Takeout section on the website. I also
Oh,
made a
nice.
few modifications. Jen Miller and M Plays are on there. So, of course, until next time, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.
You tell me what you saw.
I don't know it.
Power
That
outage.
weird. Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah. Power dipped for a second. I was just about to text because I got on and it said I didn't have a connection. I'm just
Huh.
gonna briefly check the recording.
I'm trying to think of where it went out. It went
I
out right before you're about to go back into the
I'll just take it from until next week, like until 2 weeks
until
from now.
2 weeks, yeah.